band doing their usual cool thing. Thank you, band. Fantastic job this morning. Are they good? They're getting better all the time. Well, it's sermon time. Oh, glad someone's excited. I'm looking forward to this. We often don't realise quite what we've got here with Sam and Jenny and the way they serve there is so much they do behind the scenes that most people never see. And it's just such a privilege to have them. So I want you to give Sam a great welcome. He's a great pastor and a great preacher.
Praise the name of Jesus. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. I said God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Praise the name of Jesus. How many were here last Sunday? I wasn't. I'm glad you were here. How was Barry? Was he awesome? Was he great? Did he have a good time? Praise God. We have great men of God who come into this place and bring God's word so powerfully, so profoundly, and in season. And so this is a church that we get good people, we get talented people, we get servants of God who are anointed to preach the word of God. And when you keep coming, you get from time to time different people coming in and serving in their gift of ministry, serving in their teaching and in their preaching, and bringing those gifts into this house. And that's a blessing for us, because it's always good to have a mix of some of the meals that we have. And you don't hear from me all the time. It's good to have some others come in and share what's on their heart and see what's happening. And the reason why I bring other pastors in and evangelists and prophets and people like that is to catch what's going on across the globe. Because we are not just a small fish in a small pond looking at ourselves and not knowing what's happening out there. The world is big and God is doing an amazing work right across the globe. And it's good when people from the outside come in and they see what's happening and they can connect with what we are doing, because it's a global vision. It's a global outreach. It's not just for us to have a happy time here. It's good to have a happy time, but that's not the purpose for us meeting here. It's for us to be on the high street. It's for us to affect and impact a community for Jesus. And that's why we are here. So that's why our strap line is very simple. It's passionate for Jesus and making a difference in our community. Passionate for Jesus and making a difference in our community. And this year I plan to do that with the mayor's help. We want to get something going with this house. And so we've been talking about it. It's time for some action. How many like some action? You know what? Action takes a bit of action ourselves as well. It takes a bit of effort. It takes a bit of time. It takes a bit of muscle. And so I just want to say thank you to all those who came yesterday, helped us set up everything. It takes time and effort and energy. But thank you in the heat, in the hot sun. It was great. We had a great team of people coming together. And those are some of the highlights of the church. And that way, every one of us can get involved when we do things like that, because we are serving Jesus in everything we do. So I just want to talk to you about this morning about Jesus. Is that okay? Is that okay? That's good. Okay. But this I want to talk about having an encounter with Jesus that is life-changing. So my title this morning, if you want a title, is An Encounter with Jesus is Life-Changing. An encounter with Jesus is life-changing. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, today I thank you that Jesus, you are the Lord, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord that we have an encounter with. And I pray this morning that even as I'm speaking, that every one of us here will have an encounter with the living God. Thank you, Lord, that it'll change our lives. Change our lives this morning. Change my heart, O God. Change my life, O God. Here, help me hear you clearly this morning. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today, people need to have an encounter with Jesus. See, all the people hear about Jesus so much. They hear about Jesus over the television, on the radio. They hear about Jesus from people who are preaching on the street and from various sources. And they know about Jesus. But until they've had an encounter, nothing changes. How many know that? And people today just knowing religious stuff does not help. How many know that? Everybody has religion. Has it helped? I don't think so. If religion was the answer, then we would have a totally different world that we are living in. But religion clearly is not the answer. Doing religious stuff is not the answer. It cannot change the human heart. But people believe that if they do all these things, these rituals and these traditions and do all this stuff that is written up in books, that somehow some things will change. But they find that unless the human heart is touched by the Spirit of God, nothing changes, because your carnality always supersedes the spiritual. The carnality always supersedes the soulish realm. And so you somehow, it's very easy to operate in the flesh. It's very easy to give in to the flesh. Let me give you a simple example. You want to go do some exercise. How difficult it is. When you plan it, you think about it, you want to do it. But then when it gets down to the day, you got to get to the gym, or you got to get on the road, you got to get into those Lycra shorts or whatever you do, or get on that bicycle. It takes a bit of doing, doesn't it? You know, it kind of, the flesh tells you, you know what? Have a little more time in bed. You know, come on, after all, you deserve it. You know, you had a late night yesterday. You had the whole of Sunday. You know, you were tired and you had barbecue in your house. You know, you had people till 11 or whatever time it is. And you know, you can take it a bit easy. And so what happens? The flesh says, yeah, take it a bit easy. And what do we do? Oh, yeah, I deserve it, you know. I deserve a rest. And so we never get to that exercise. And it's a bit like that. That everybody has religion, everybody has some kind of faith, but somehow if that faith is not put into action, it remains just something that is known but never experienced. And so even with Jesus, people have to have an encounter with Jesus in order for something to change in their lives. Even believers, even Christians, if you try to live your life outside of Jesus, you will struggle. Because the power source has to be Jesus. It cannot be anything else. We can have all the lights and all the music and everything else, but if the power source is not in you, if you haven't had an encounter with the power source, who is Jesus Christ himself, your life will be different. It'll be difficult because you are operating in your own strength and not in the strength and the power that the Spirit of God gives you. And the only way you can live that Christian life today is when you are tapped into the Spirit of God, because otherwise your body always feels tired. Talk to somebody and say, how are you? So most people say, I am tired. How are you? I'm okay, but I'm tired. Who gives you the energy? Who gives you the power? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Every time I walk in here on a Wednesday or a Thursday or if it's any other day of the week, yes, my body is tired, but I tell you something. The one thing I do is I tap in to the Spirit of God. I say, Holy Spirit, you have got to help me, because this is your house. These are your people. I don't want to show up being tired. I don't want to show up being weary, but I want to show up saying, Lord, I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, my body might be welting away, but I can say in my spirit comes alive in Jesus Christ. And that has happened many times when I've come on a Wednesday and I felt a bit, I could have done something. Oh, you know, I could have stayed at home. I could have, you know, put my feet up. But I say, Lord, I'm here because of you. I'm here because people need an encounter with Jesus. And the moment I shift from my feeling sorry for myself to the point to saying, Lord, you can do something in me today. You can make me a blessing. You know what? The Spirit of God does something in you. Why? Because you are willing to put yourself out of the picture, put your tiredness to once and say, Holy Spirit, you are the equipper. You are the source, and I'm willing to follow what you are saying and what you are doing. So let's turn to John's Gospel chapter 4. And let's find out from this beautiful story and encounter, John's Gospel chapter 4 and verses 1 to 25. It's a beautiful story about Jesus meeting at the well with a Samaritan woman. And so let's read a few passages of scripture. And it says here, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So he's leaving Judea and he's going to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Now, if you looked at history, you will know that the Jews and the Samaritans never got on. The Jews never passed through Samaria. It was about 70 miles from Judea to Galilee. But you know what? The Jews never went on the 70-mile journey. They went around Samaria, which took double the time and double the number of miles that they had to cover. But Jesus here, he says that he himself wanted to go through Samaria, but he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. So verse 5, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar or Sychar, which near the plot ground of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. In the Jewish calendar, the sixth hour is probably 12 in the afternoon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now we know that there was a divide between the Samaritans and the Jews. They hated one another. They wouldn't tolerate one another. Jesus, however, decided to go through Samaria. And so we see that this story cuts through every barrier and every prejudice and every sort of act of racism where Jesus quite rightly says, okay, you may not want to go through this town, but I am going through this town because I have a purpose for this town. I have something that I can do in this city. And so Jesus cuts through all of that, the barriers for race and prejudice. And today, even today as a society, we face it. We still, in this generation, we still face prejudice. We still face barriers of racism in this society. But Jesus decides to put an end to the divide. He decides to put an end to the division between these two races. And so the first point is this. When you have an encounter with Jesus, your racist, prejudiced ideas fall away and you become more accepting like Jesus. Let me say that again. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you don't get involved in racism or have any prejudice or have any of those ideas because they fall away. How many know that wherever you go in the world, you say hallelujah, everybody knows that. Everybody in the world who is a Christian is a brother or a sister in Christ. We might be rich or poor. We might come from various backgrounds, from the most lowest class or culture to the most affluent class or culture. But Jesus remains the same right across every sphere of influence. There is no difference between the man who is the most affluent in society, who walks in aristocracy, to the poorest man who is discarded and who is trodden upon. There is no difference to the love of Jesus. That's how amazing the love of Jesus is. So when you have an encounter, you get rid of all these things. The Jews did not like the Samaritans. They considered them as reprobates. That was how bad it was. Why? Because they only believed in the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And you know what they did? They mixed that up with paganism. That's what they did. They even mixed that up with paganism. And they erected their own temple on Mount Gerizim to their own gods. That's what they did. So the Jews disliked them. Because they took the word, the five books of the law, and they distorted it. And so Jesus yet goes to the very heart of this place to put an end to this division. See, when we look at the world today, there's a lot of division, isn't there? Even amongst Christians, there's a lot of division. I met some folk from other churches yesterday. And I told them, I said, who is your pastor? And they mentioned who it is. I said, look, I'd like to connect with them. I said, it's time for us as churches to operate together, to know what's happening. Correct? Yeah. To know what's happening, to know that we are one kingdom. Amen. We're not different kingdoms. We're not different spirits. We are of one, the one same spirit. We are of one kingdom. And so when I was talking there, I said, look, I'd love to meet up with some of your pastors just to connect with them and find out what's happening and be part of what's going on. Because we have got to have a united front and show that we are Christians by the way we love one another. How can people believe us if we don't love our fellow brothers and sisters? They might do things in a different way, but that doesn't matter. All of us cook food in a different way, don't we? If I ask you to cook a certain dish, you'll all have different ways of cooking it. But the dish comes out the same, or almost the same. But nevertheless, we all know how to cook it. And in the same way, we have an expression that we have in this house, because we have a certain vision and we have a certain goal that we are trying to achieve. Other churches have visions, they have goals, the way they want to achieve it. And our job is to say, okay, hey, let's get together and let's see where there's commonality. Let's see how we can do things together to progress the kingdom of God. So, coming back to my story. Jesus, in verse 6, he sits by the well of Jacob. And then comes a Samaritan woman to draw water. Now, it's very interesting here that Jesus initiates that conversation. Have you noticed that? He says, give me a drink. That's what he says, correct? A woman of Samaria, verse 7, came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples has gone away to get some food. The woman of Samaria says to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus initiates the conversation which shocks this Samaritan woman. And you can see that in her reply to Jesus. The woman, she questions Jesus on the racial hatred that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. But you know something? Jesus gives her a totally different answer. He does not go straight in to that racist answer that he receives, but he tells the woman this in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus moves away from the barriers. And you know, at that time, you wouldn't even talk to a woman alone in a public place like that. Being a rabbi, under their instructions, were not allowed to talk to women in public places. And so Jesus goes one step beyond and he breaks down that barrier of a rabbi being able to talk to a woman in a public arena. But here's the thing, Jesus sees the heart. He doesn't look at her racism or her prejudices. He looks at her heart and he comes straight to the point. Why? Because Jesus wants his woman to have a genuine encounter with the truth about who he really was. That's why. Jesus was talking about spiritual realm, whilst the woman was operating in the physical. Jesus was talking about living water, which is spiritual living water, talking about the Holy Spirit. The woman understood it as physical water. But somehow, Jesus had to bring some understanding into her heart so that she could open herself up to understand what Jesus was offering. And what Jesus was offering was something that was more, even more eternal, that would satisfy her deepest needs. And what would have been her deepest needs? She was disliked in society. Why? Because she was living out of wedlock. She had 5 husbands. And she was living out of wedlock. She would have felt that rejection from her community. Because in those cultures, they were very strong. They were a close-linked community. She would have had feelings of being immoral, being an outcast. She would have had feelings of being looked down upon. But Jesus was offering her something that not only had an internal consequence, but that would satisfy her deepest needs. The second point I have is this. An encounter with Jesus always transforms the heart. An encounter with Jesus always transforms the heart. Why? Because Jesus always looks at the heart. And you see scriptures in Proverbs. It says that if your heart is pure, what comes out of you will be pure. You can know somebody by the way they speak and what comes out of them. You can know if they're a believer or not, in the true sense of a believer, out of what comes out of them. See, Proverbs 4 and 23 is a very nice scripture. It says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's why it says, guard your heart. Don't allow your heart to be corrupt. Because if it's corrupt, what will come out of it is corruption. Matthew talks about having a pure heart in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you have a pure heart, you will see God. Why? Because he looks not on the exterior, but he looks at your heart, your innermost being. And so Jesus tells her in verse 10, this Samaritan woman, if only you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked and he would have given it to you. How many times when we are with friends, when we are with our neighbors, when we are at parties, when we are out and about in our places of work, that we think, if only you knew the power of Jesus. If only you knew the name of Jesus. If only you knew this person called Jesus, your life would never be the same. How many have thought of that? I know many times I've said that myself. If only you knew. And Jesus tells this woman, if only you knew. And you asked. And you received. I would give it to you. The Samaritan woman responds, but she responds in the natural, quite believable, isn't it? Because she's not thinking about the spiritual. She's looking at the natural and she looks at, okay, Jesus, living water, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wonder what that tastes like. You know, but hey, there's no rope. It's pretty deep well. No rope. Jesus, no bucket, and unless you want to, you know, fly in and out and get some water out, there's no way you can get some water. So what are you talking about? What is this living water that you are talking about? She would probably have been confused. Naturally, she would be confused, wouldn't she? Wouldn't you be confused? If somebody said to you, I can give you water, but I don't have a bucket, nor do I have a rope and the well's deep. And she was confused. But after listening to Jesus, this is what she did. She is willing to take a chance on his offer. She's willing to take a chance on his offer and she asked for this living water, even though she did not understand what Jesus was actually saying. She was willing to take a chance. Even today, folks, Jesus offers this living water freely. It's freely given. It's freely offered to all who thirst after righteousness. This offer, however, has to be accepted. Unless it's accepted, it can have no effect on people. It has to be accepted. This woman couldn't understand everything, but she was willing to give Jesus a chance to do something with this living water. The scriptures say in Matthew 5, 6, he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. And so, how we wish for our youth today that they would have a drink of this living water. How we wish that our youth of our society today would have a drink of this living water. That living water that would satisfy their desire to satisfy their innermost being, and that desire that comes up from within. That emptiness, that hollowness, those things that young people are facing today that only can be satisfied through Jesus and nobody else. Because they seek to find satisfaction is the reason that drives young people to do so many things. So many silly things that they do in order to find some sort of gratification for their desire to want something. And what they want is that sense of belonging, that sense of love. How we wish that people in our sphere of influence would have a drink of this living water. How we wish that people would have a genuine encounter with the giver of eternal life. This is the mission of the church. This is why we are here. It's to enable people to have an encounter with Jesus. It's to bring people to a place where they hear the gospel and they feel convicted in their heart while the Holy Spirit does the conviction. And they hear about life, the life-transforming power of Jesus. And then they give Him a chance to change their lives. This woman was willing, even though she did not understand everything. She was willing. Maybe she wanted her years of having to come to this well, living on the outskirts of the city. There was a well that was closer, but she never went to that well. She came to this well, which is on the outside of the city, to draw water. Why? Because she was probably tired. She was fed up of life. She had 5 husbands. She was living with someone she wasn't married to. And this offer that Jesus had for her was an amazing offer. Wow. Living water? Wow. And she says that. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing, verse 11, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? So she goes back and refers to Jacob, their father, who gave them that well and drank from it himself, because she didn't know who this person who was talking to her was. And she says, don't you know about Jacob? Don't you know that this well was given to us by him and he himself drank from it? He was great, one of the greatest patriarchs. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. How many of us are willing to take up this offer that Jesus gives us, even though we do not fully understand everything? How many don't fully understand everything that's in this Bible? I know I don't. But yet we take by faith, we believe what the scriptures say. And we say, God, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to put my trust in your word because your word says it'll never pass away. Your word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to pierce through every ideology and thing that tries to, it's in my innermost being. Your word is able to sift through all that, cut through all that, cut off the rubbish and bring me to a place of maturity and purity. Even though we don't understand everything, yet we believe. Why? Because we know the changing power of Jesus. But you know, just before Jesus gives her this gift of eternal life, he knows what's in her heart. And you know something? Eternal life is good. We all have that. But Jesus goes a step further. And he wants to make this woman whole. He wants to heal her heart. Why? Because she would have had situations where she would have walked with rejection. She would have had soul ties. There's a lovely dog here. Hello. Someone's doggy is in here. It's good. Praise the Lord. Bring the person in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God can use even a dog to bring someone in to the house of God. Isn't that good? Jesus goes one extra bit. And he says, I want to not only give you eternal life, but I want to heal you. And I want to make you whole. I want to take away those hurts, that feelings of rejection. I want to touch you in the areas that you have soul ties with so many husbands. I want to minister to you. And you know what Jesus does? Not only does he give us eternal life, that's great. But you know what he does? He always heals us. And he wants to make us whole. He wants to live us to live in a place of wholeness. Not just living and dying and saying, I'm going to heaven. But Jesus wants us to, in the living, in the journey that we are on with Christ on this earth, he wants us to live it to the full. Because Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have life to the full. And the only way you can have life to the full is when your heart is healed and you are made whole by the blood of Jesus. That's the only way you can walk in wholeness. Try it. Otherwise, there's no way that you can walk in wholeness. You might have the experience of being born again, but that doesn't mean that your whole being becomes whole unless you seek after righteousness, hunger after righteousness, search for the things of God and say, God, I want you to make me whole. People today have accepted Christ, but they're running around with scars in their lives which haven't been healed. People are going about with having soul ties with various other marriages and various other situations where they have been with people and they have not dealt with those soul ties. And you know what happens? The enemy takes a hold of that and he can use it to disadvantage that believer. But unless God touches you in your spirit and in your heart, it's difficult to change. Because you always go back to what you did before. But Jesus knew that she must come to a place where she can confess and believe. And so he goes on to deal with the hindrance. When a sinner comes to Jesus, not only does he change their lives, but he also transforms their lives. Their lives become totally new. When Jesus addressed this woman's issue, of the husband that she was living with, or the man she was living with, was not her husband. Her eyes begin to open. She began to realize, whoa, how did you know that? And then she says, I perceive you to be a prophet. Suddenly something happens. Her eyes begin to open. And Jesus, he again cuts through all of that, all of the rubbish and all of the stuff and the misinformation and the traditional beliefs that this woman has. and go straight into one important scripture which is coming up just now. And she says, because she tells Jesus, you know, we Samaritans, we worship on this mountain. But Jesus says to her, the time is coming. The time is coming, and it is now, where those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Jesus points out that worship is not based on who you are or what you are or where it is done, but it is purely from your spirit. So it does not matter where you come from. It does not matter what you do, that when you come to worship, when you come to the house of God, when you are worshiping God in your own place, that you worship God truthfully and in spirit. Why? Because the primary activity of the spirit of man is to have union with the Spirit of God. You cannot have a union in the flesh with Jesus. You can only have a union with Jesus by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has a union with the spirit of man. How do I know that? If you read Genesis chapter 2, you will see when God made Adam, what did he do? He breathed the breath of life. He breathed into him his own life, and he became a living soul. And God, when he touches a man's heart, he breathes into him that eternal life. Man becomes a living soul. In other words, there is something that is enlightening, that's living, that's invigorating in a person's life. That's why a Christian, when you encounter a Christian, there's something exciting about that person. It's because this is bubbling. Jesus talks about this fountain of water springing up. Now, if you imagine a fountain of water, you all have seen fountains of water in places, in cities, in villages, in towns. What does it do? It bubbles up all the time. It's never stagnant, is it? It's always bubbling. And when the living water is operational in our lives, we are always bubbling. We are always energetic. We are always refreshing. We are always having that encounter experience with Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in us, bubbling through us and being expressed out into the world through us. And that is why our openness to the Spirit of God is so important. And this woman was open to Jesus. She wanted this living water. Fourth point, an encounter with Jesus transforms your spirit man. An encounter with Jesus transforms your spirit man. It's the only part of man that can directly be united with God. It's the only part, it's the spirit man. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17 says this, but anyone who is joined with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Not in the flesh, not in our soulish realm, it's in the spirit. God's desire is this, that man's spirit directs his soul. What is the soul of man? It's a will. You and I have a will. Many people say, you know, why does God do all this? Why is all this coming? It's because you have a will. You can choose what you want to do. You have a will. God's given you an intellect, your mind, and God gives you emotions, your feelings. So that's the soulish realm. But God's desire is that your spirit man governs or directs your will, your mind, and your emotions. Why? So that what you do will be led by the Spirit of God. But if your flesh starts to manifest, it'll do all the rubbish. If you trust your flesh, you won't get far spiritually. And so God's desire that it works spirit, soul, body. That's how he wants it to work. That's why we speak in tongues. Why? We're talking spirit to spirit. Because we are communicating spirit to spirit. It goes beyond our mind. That's why we encourage it. It's the highest activity of man, is worshiping God in spirit. That's why Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And that was a revelation to me when I was preparing. I said, God, I want to worship you in spirit. Not through just words. But in my spirit, I want to touch heaven. And I want to worship you truthfully. Fifth point is this. When you have an encounter with Jesus, is the last one. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you cannot but talk about it. You cannot stop talking about Jesus. This woman of Samaria, the moment she encountered the Messiah, did she just say, oh, that's great, I found the Messiah? No. She goes back to her village and she broadcasts it to the whole of the village. And say, hey, I've found the Messiah. This could be the Christ. That's what she says. This could be the Christ. The moment she had an encounter with Jesus, she said, I know the Messiah. When Jesus talks about, she says, I know He's coming. And Jesus makes Himself known in verse 26. Jesus makes Himself known. He says, I am that Messiah that you're talking about. And then in verse 28, the woman leaves her water pot, goes into the city and says to the men, come, see a man who told me all things I have ever done. Could this be the Christ? Something happened to this Samaritan woman. Something changed. An encounter with Jesus will cause you to talk about it. Undoubtedly, this is the work of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, working through this woman who is now having an encounter with the Messiah. Her words now have unusual power. See, before she was rejected by society, she didn't have a voice in society. She was looked down upon society because she was living. She had five husbands before. She was living outside of wedlock. But now suddenly her words carry power. I tell you something, when you have an encounter with Jesus, you might have the, if I put it this way, the most rubbish life before. But the moment you have an encounter with Jesus, your words carry power. Every person with an encounter with Jesus carries power in their words. That's why our words become important. That's why our words become so vital, because when we speak, we are speaking with the authority and the power of God in our lives. And so this woman had a voice, had power in her words. People responded to Jesus. They came to see who this Messiah was. When you speak with the authority and the power of Jesus, people will respond. Why? Because it's not you. It's the power of God in you that brings people to the place of recognizing who you are in Christ Jesus. People will know when you have an encounter with Jesus. You won't have to shout about it. They will see it in your voice. They will hear it in your voice. They will see it on your face. They will know it by your actions. It is the character of the Holy Spirit in you. The fruit of the Spirit will be seen. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, temperance. One more. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him, and we reflect His glory even more. But that can only come as we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself more and more. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Jesus, this process of changing in us to become more like Jesus. It's called separating ourselves, or sanctified, being sanctified. In other words, separating ourselves from the things that are sinful to the things of righteousness and holiness. We cannot reproduce the character of Jesus with our own strength. It doesn't happen. It's the Spirit of God that enables us. Philippians 2:13 says this, God is working in you. Tell your neighbor, God is working in you. God is working in you. Say it powerfully. God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him. Say that as well. Giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. Say that as well. And the power to do what pleases Him. Now let's say it together. God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. Let's say it one more time. God is working in us, giving us the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. Philippians 2:13. Our testimony is powerful. There are many who are waiting to hear your testimony, your encounter with Jesus. So don't stop talking about your encounter with Jesus. Today we can encounter this amazing Jesus who gives us everyone, who gives everyone who comes to Him the ability to be His child. Everybody who comes to Jesus, God gives you the ability to become His child. How do I know that? John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 20. I close with this verse. But to all who did receive Him, to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right. Hallelujah. He gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. Praise God, church, to everyone who received Him, who believed in His name. He gave the right to become children of God. You and I, we can shout this and tell people, you want to be a child of God? All you have to do is receive Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved, or you shall be saved. Salvation comes through believing and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how easy it is. And that's why we need to take this gospel and bring encounters to people, that people can encounter this Jesus, because it's life-changing, life-transforming. Let's all stand this morning.
It's like a prayer. River of life, flow over us. Flow into the dry and dusty places of our lives. Flow in power to break the barriers that resist your presence. Come, breath of God, breathe on our broken bones. Cause us to rise in power. Cause us to stand again and shine through us. Cause us to march. Let us hear the drumbeat of heaven. Let us hear the trumpet blast. Let us have a firm and steady step, marching against the enemy. Let us come against his devices and his plans. Come, river of life. Come in mercy and grace. Come in deliverance. Saturate us. Saturate us, our hearts afresh. Cause new strength and new life to flow, invigorating us afresh. Let us take hold of you, our Saviour, our King, our Deliverer, our God Almighty.